Well, I don't mean to be disrespectful to somebody not on the call, but my impression is that Mary has had a hard time with getting this together. And I think that's also a problem. So we could ask the group to, you know, present us with something. But I'm wondering whether there might not be someone else in the working group who'd be willing to take some leadership to make the meeting happen. Somebody perhaps not on the executive search committee. No disrespect, Bob, but I figure you're kind of busy these days.
Yes, I am.
Well, don't all yell at once. We'd like to keep order here. All right, scratch that idea.
People are too busy, Dave. They got too much.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, they talk about the bylaws convention. That's something that really has got to get dealt with because essentially everybody's all in and overwhelmed. So only a fragment of anybody's attention goes to any single issue.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be something we do other than that.
This is Jane. Might I make a suggestion?
Please.
At the next CMB meeting, Dave, if you would give the progress report on this working group and invite other PMB meeting members to submit their ideas for a code of conduct to our working group, maybe something even more helpful will turn up.
I'm happy to report on its progress, but somebody's going to have to send me something that says there's been some and what it is.
Well, I mean, report on the lack of progress then, but simply to ask the other PMB members to submit their ideas for a code of conduct.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. Can I get a contact? Who should those things be? I guess I'll just say submit them to me and I'll send them on to the whole committee.
Yeah.
Can you note that, R. Paul, because I'm going to be relying on your minutes to construct my report.
Exactly. What do you want me to write in?
That I will solicit suggestions on code of conduct from other board members and ask them to email me with them, and I will disseminate them to the committee.
Yeah, David, this is Rob.
Yep.
One of the concerns that I have about the code of conduct issue is that too many people on this committee just aren't clear about what structure or what specifics they think are important. So we've seen suggestions from Marty and other people, but we don't have enough specifics. And at some point, we're going to have to discuss, if we're going to have a code of conduct, how is it going to be structured, and what are the issues going to be there? And then people are going to have to come down on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't operate if people are not willing to say, I like this, I don't like that. I want it to look this way, I don't want it to look that way.
Look, I sent around, I did what I said at the last time, I sent around the proposals we had. You guys have sent around stuff.
Yeah.
We've got to have a presentation of it.
I'm not criticizing your leadership, David, not in the least. I'm just saying.
No, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying we've circulated it. So how do we get to that stage that you're talking about, if not through the working group's activities?
This is Bob.
Were you done, Rob?
Go ahead, Bob.
Star Paul, could I make sure I have Dave's, what he wants in the minutes here? I have, Adelson will solicit suggestions on code of conduct from other committee members, and he'll submit them to the PNB.
No, we'll solicit suggestions on code of conduct from other PNB members.
Other PNB members?
Yes.
So, and
I mean,
they'll be submitted to me, and I'll disseminate them to the committee.
Oh, okay, so they'll submit those to you, and you'll disseminate them to the governance committee.
Right.
This is Lydia. Can you put me on the track?
Yeah. So, Rob, do you want to say anything else before I go to Bob and Lydia?
No. I think that everybody on this committee has a responsibility to say, number one, what structure do you think makes sense for a code of conduct? And secondly, what issues do you think should be treated within that code of conduct? And if you don't, then don't hold up the process, because we need to get this done. That's all.
Okay, Bob and then Lydia?
Maybe one thing that could help if we still have a few minutes tonight on this, right, Dave?
Let me go back and check. But I think we were supposed to...
There's 30 minutes on this in the agenda.
Yeah, but we took some of it for the...
So we have 20 minutes.
Okay, go ahead,
Bob. So... maybe we should take some of that time to actually carve out the or prescribe for the working group what the categories are that we want to see them, us, come up with. And I would suggest maybe that they could, and we've discussed these before, but we've never kind of formally agreed, and that shouldn't be controversial. I think there are three of them. One is, I don't have exact terms right now. People could help with that. One is what we would define as misconduct and the question of gradations. You know, there's some of us want to frame this in terms of there's, you know, minor misconduct, there's serious, and there's grave, or something like that. So kind of defining the nature and severity of misconduct, that's one area. The second area would be due process, procedure including due process. And the third would be range of penalties, like what range should be allowed or not allowed.
So
I'm just saying maybe we could have a motion coming out of tonight's meeting that either those three or whatever other people think are the right number of categories, that we want to see proposals in those three categories, you know, coming out of the working group. And people should start drafting their own personal proposals, circulating them around, and so that, you know, when we have our first conference call, hopefully in the next 2 weeks or so, we'll be able to actually come out of that meeting with maybe one of them. We'll accomplish one of them at the first meeting, perhaps.
This is Jane.
Go ahead, Jane, and then I'd like to speak.
Could you put our poll in the stack?
Jane, our poll, and then me.
I'm going back and rereading Dan's suggested additions to Code of Conduct. These are really specific and tangible. I would like us, either as a, you know, as a whole committee, as a whole, or else the working group, to look specifically at these 6 points and his.
Could you read them, Jane?
Okay. First of all, Marty's, which was so short, simply is a draft code of conduct. 5 points. One, I will treat other members of the board and Pacific community with respect and consideration. Two, I will honor the confidentiality of executive sessions and I will not disclose the contents of confidential documents. Three, I understand I have a fiduciary duty to the Pacifica Foundation. I will strive to serve its best interests. Four, I will disclose any conflict of interest and recuse myself from voting on any issue in which I have a proprietary interest. And five, to the best of my ability, I will follow the Pacific bylaws and work to fulfill the mission principles of Pacific Foundation. And then Dan had 6 suggested additions, which are in a different person here. Number one, discriminatory conduct and statements, including those based on race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, national origin, ancestry, or age, are prohibited on the property and at official functions. Two, violence, the threat of violence, assaults, or physical attacks are not tolerated on Pacifica property or at Pacifica events and meetings. Three, any Pacifica Foundation national or local station board member, officer, employee member, or agent is prohibited from making any public or private statements, written or verbal, that defame other officers, agents, directors, delegates, or employees. Four, any foundation, national, or local station board member, officer, or agent is prohibited from publicly or privately advocating for or against individual staff member employment and or revealing or otherwise engaging in personnel matters and issues outside of established policy and procedures as delineated in foundation bylaws, handbooks, and or policy handbooks or manuals. Five, violations of this policy shall include sanctions up to and including removal from the PMB per guidelines established in the bylaws and any other appropriate sanctions that a majority of the PMB may deem appropriate. And six, disputed charges of violations of this code will be handled by a PMB designated committee. Complaints must be filed in 30 days, including with their supervisor of record. In the case of directors or delegates, complaints should be directed to the chair of the PMB or the appropriate committee. And then he went on with some enforcement and accountability. I want to continue reading, but it seemed like these are there's a lot of meat right here, and if we could simply work through these and perhaps hammer out a structure based on what we've been given, we'd be pretty. far along. I don't know what others think about that.
Lydia, can you add me to the staff?
Are Paul, then me, then Lydia.
Right. Starf.
And then
yeah.
Starf.
Okay. Yeah, part of my concern is, well, I guess the first concern is, how is this going to really play out? I mean, what's it going to be actually for? A code of conduct is one thing, and we can talk about how people should act and all that, but then there's the implementation end of it. Everybody knows that I think that the thing that happened in New York on March 9th was, in fact, a purge and is purely political, and, you know, we need to avoid having a whole lot of that, otherwise the internecine conflict that already exists within Pacifica will boil over, and at some point bad consequences will happen to that for everybody. You know, you can't, it's sort of like, you know, we're all in a boat, and some people say, we don't like the people on that end of the boat, so we're going to cut off that end of the boat. Whole boat's going to sink if you do that, and I'm not entirely sure people won't do that. The other part of it is, regarding the meat from Dan Coughlin's suggestions, part of that meat, to me, seems rotten. I mean, it seems like there's a gag rule he's trying to impose. One of the very important things that the IPNB did was to remove the gag rule that had been on all of us for quite a while. And the Dan Coughlin thing sounds a lot like a backdoor reimposition of the gag rule, not just on staff, but on anybody who's on an LSB. I mean, telling the listeners, it sounds like that, well, there are various things you can't get into. And who's going to say, oh, you know, if you disagree with somebody, they'll say, oh, you're defaming me. And then you get in, then all of a sudden, bang, you're into disciplinary procedures. So I think that's really the, I think to me that's the biggest thing at this point, not the the dotted I's and the crossed T's of, you know, how we'll hold our pinkies as we drink our tea, but how somebody's, you know, how this is going to be implemented, what's it going to be used for. So I think that is the serious stuff.
I'm next. Yeah, I'd like Jane's idea of using that as a jumping off point, just because it is specific. And I agree with our Paul that some of that meat is rotten. The idea that you could not, in public or in private, advocate for or against somebody or defame somebody, it's so subjective that essentially having that hanging over you is like a club constantly of whether you've said anything. And in general, it will be used for people who say things against people, critical of, and not for people who have said, you know, who have actively advocated on behalf. I mean, the statement that, oh, so-and-so's doing a great job, you know, he deserves a raise or something. I mean, at a board meeting, could be construed as violating that. But that said, I do think that it has the advantage of being specific, and that discussion over each of those points will bring us to the level of concreteness that Rob is suggesting we need to move forward. So I think that's a good framework. I'll say 1 and 2 of that seem reasonable. 3 and 4 are, you know, frankly, to me, appalling. And, I think what we need to deal with in the spirit of what Rob said, our differences have to do with the kinds of things that people say on lists and in other places, being critical of things that are happening in Pacifica. My own position is we should encourage that kind of critique, but we shouldn't allow certain kinds of ad hominem discussion or rumor mongering that is abusive or hostile. So you know, Dan's language is far too broad, in my mind, but I think that in discussing how you would define certain of those things, we might make actual concrete progress towards something we could agree on. So I favor Jane's suggestion of using that as the structuring approach. Next is Lydia and then Sarv. Is there anyone else who wants to get on after that?
Yes, okay. So I liked the structure in Dan's proposal also because of the specificity and clearly just in terms of even our communication etiquette, there's no discipline, there is no focus on issues. It is so personalized that some aspect of that has to be addressed. It doesn't have to be something we penalize, but it definitely has to be addressed in our code of conduct. And however, I do also like, and I think that if we start off with some starting point, is to add the things and the structure that Bob proposed. Like, those are like broad categories that as we develop, and even if we use Dan's document as a starting point, but that we are sure to cover it in what seemed to be a pretty logical breakdown in those three or four points that he mentioned.
Sarf?
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate Jane's suggestion as to the structure of Dan's proposal. However, I think in addition to the structure and the mechanics of it, I think somewhere needs to be added to it the spirit of the Pacifica Mission. And I think Marty tried to put that in her a little bit more than Dan's suggestion as to that you should not treat other people like you would not want to be treated yourself, or we are for peace, this and that, all that kind of stuff. I think in addition to the structure, we have to add somewhere the overriding principle behind all this to make people aware that it's not a good thing to personally attack a person's being, and that they are to be focused on the issues and that kind of thing. But overall, I hear Dave, your suggestions, and I agree that it's a good starting point. Dan, 6 points, and then we can go from there. Thanks.
Can you please put me on the stack? This is Max.
Yes.
You're up, Max.
Yeah, I have all of them in memory. I'm looking at Dan's. It seems to me that it will be a fairly easy matter, or maybe not so easy, to spell out the stuff that the kind of behavior that we all know is unacceptable. It may be a little bit more difficult to come up with proper punishments and to come up with a procedure. But I'll tell you what troubles me more and more. It has a lot to do with this borderline language or attitude that is very difficult on everybody, it seems to me. Not that I expect people to be angels, but we time and again in the way we treat one another, we are almost on the verge of being abusive without necessarily crossing some obvious lines. Somehow we need to address that kind of behavior. And I think Sarv has a point. Implicit in the mission is the idea that we have to try and treat one another decently. And maybe that should be included in the preamble somewhere. But we have to tone down the decibels. We have to use less offensive language. I think, to be quite honest with you, it's a problem of the left in general. I don't quite know how we deal with it in a code of conduct. But we kind of want people to be on their best behavior. I guess that's what I'm trying, especially people on the same side of the fence. That's what I'm trying to convey there.
This is Jane. I'd like to echo.
Hello?
I just want to echo the comments of Sarv and Max. I think I said it very well.
Is that Sandra I heard?
No, this is Grace. Can I weigh in here?
Please, go ahead.
In terms of a code of conduct, you get into cultural differences where there are some groups use foul language and very pejorative remarks. And it's just considered, it's not, no offense is necessarily taken, or very little offense. In other cultures, if you raise an eyebrow the wrong way, it's taken as a very insulting thing. So I think that the main principle of a code of conduct should be discipline should be used when a member or a group of members engages in conduct which seriously impedes the progress of the organization, whatever that conduct may be. I mean, if somebody, for instance, were to propose the same motion over and over again, and that particular motion wasted so much of an LSD's time, that may be considered something that so seriously impeded the progress and the health of the organization that it might be something that should warrant disciplinary action. If a group is agreeable to insulting one another, but they get a lot of work done, I think it should be within the parameters of the group to accept that type of behavior. And vice versa, if that type of behavior is extremely disruptive to a particular group. You know, I think the criteria has to be, how does this affect the working of the LSB or the organization? Is it disruptive? Does it impede progress? Or does it help progress? Or you know, because sometimes impeding freedom of speech and everybody getting so paranoid that they can't say anything means that maybe there can be no progress made because everybody's afraid to initiate any kind of statement about something. A very bad staff member, because you can't say anything bad about anybody, could be kept on for years and cause financial and quality of broadcasting can be detrimental in those areas. Am I making myself clear?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is Dave. I want to respond. I think one of the things that would be really helpful in doing this, Grace makes the point of, you know, not knowing what you can say. We could have a whole bunch of you can't do this's. But, you know, and people have said, well, you know, people don't express things well, or they, you know, whatever. There's a lot of frustration in Pacifica that everybody has about the way things happen. And sometimes, you know, what is one person's principled critique is another person's outlandish attack. And there's a whole range of different things. But if there could be some concrete examples, like, for example, if I'm not happy with a program, for example, or something a programmer says, suppose I'm really deeply politically opposed, offended by something that somebody said on a programmer, you know, some example of the appropriate way to express, to be able to say that, and some examples saying this kind of thing, here's an example, this kind of thing is off limits, but this kind of thing is fully appropriate and within limits. So that it's not just about, the code of conduct is not just about, you know, crimes and punishments. It's also a statement of latitude and freedoms that makes clear that the following kinds of things are, of course, perfectly within reasonable discourse, et cetera, et cetera. That might go a long way if it was incorporated in the development to allaying some of the concerns of people like myself, something that our Paul said earlier about this thing basically being used as a club to beat people with if they, you know, don't go along with the program of whoever happens to be in administrative control at a given moment in the history of the foundation.
Bob?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's that last suggestion of Dave is a very good one. The more examples, the more concrete and clear it is, the better. Both positive and negative examples. I think that would be real helpful. And I have to partially disagree with what Grace said about that the only criterion should be for evaluating conduct should be whether it impedes the forward motion of the board. That's one criterion to look at, but I certainly appreciate your point about there are cultural differences in what's defined as acceptable kind of verbal behavior and what's not. But aside from all cultural differences, there are certain absolute bottom lines that I think need to be spelled out as absolutely unacceptable verbal behavior. And, you know, and so this language that, I mean, not necessarily the exact language that Dan proposed or some of the language that I reprinted from the Pacifica policy against violence and harassment that refers to discriminatory conduct based on all the usual categories. I think that's one set of language that is essential to include in here to say, you know, you can insult someone in various different ways that is not the most egregious thing. But if you do something that insults them based on their race, their sexual orientation, etc., that's extremely serious. So that's the only thing I would say about that.
Dana, I have a question. Hello?
Hi, sorry, I had to step off for a second.
Can I respond to that?
Who's that?
Sure, hey. If I knew what it was, I'd be happy. Go ahead.
Great.
By the way, somebody sounds like they're doing sit-ups or something in the background, like straining and heavy breathing, and if they could mute themselves, that'd be neat. Or not, in case they get themselves into trouble and we need to call, like, 9/11.
I don't hear any of that. Yeah,
I'm hearing, like...
Dave's getting a better phone call than we are.
I think somebody's going to a Le Mans screening.
See, like, would that be a code of conduct violation, what I just said?
14, 15, 16.
And I'm risking my position on the board.
This is Grace again. I am not familiar with really very much with what's happening in New York, and I'm not talking out of that context or any prejudice regarding that situation. My husband, in 20 minutes or so, there's going to be an ACLU meeting at our house, and I feel very strange having as strongly being a civil libertarian. I feel very strange in championing public free speech and being willing to limit it. I think we must, if foul speech or derogatory speech impedes the progress of a meeting or sufficiently upsets people and disrupts a meeting, or if there are threats of violence, or there is actual violence, then it would be included in the parameters that I mentioned earlier. However, I think that I would go a far distance in protecting free speech, because once you start to limit free speech on any level, in any organization, any part of life, I think there's a slippery slope with that. And just as we don't want the Republicans to limit our free speech, we have to be willing to accept Nazi speech, accept all kinds of free speech that may be very objectionable to us personally. But it's better to suffer ugly free speech than to limit speech. And that, and it's just a civil libertarian point of view that I have. That I think is shared by many people, and it behooves us to become thicker-skinned and to make the judgment. If somebody is disrupting a meeting, that's one thing. Then, but if somebody is expressing themselves in an ugly manner, it may fall under their right of free speech.
Okay, rather than rehash all this, and because I think that the working group needs to develop these things more concretely, and because we're at time, I would like to tie it up there. And we have 15 minutes allotted to new business. And if there's any... Does anybody want to move to extend this discussion? I personally don't feel it's going to... I feel like we've gotten aired most of the issues, and any further discussion should be directed at how we concretely get to something. But if that discussion doesn't need to happen, then can we move?
David, I would like to make one distinction. This is Rob Robinson.
Okay, Jane had something, and then you, and then let's move the agenda. Jane?
I just want to know, is Grace Aaron on the working group? Grace, are you on the working group?
The
code of contact.
No, but I'd consider being on it.
I think it'd be helpful.
That would really
sure.
be helpful, and a lot of us are sort of overloaded already. If you have time, that would be fabulous.
When does it meet?
Never.
That's the problem.
Okay. All right. I'll be on the working group.
Upon information.
Yes, Arv, and then Rob.
Grace, you have some training in the law or something like that, or?
No.
Okay. Thanks,
Rob.
The point that I would like to make, David, is that we are elected. We have democracy going on here, so we are elected to do certain jobs, and the fact that we are elected to do certain jobs does not mean that by virtue of the fact that we're in positions as local station board members or national board members, that making statements, virulent statements, is helping us perform our fiduciary responsibilities. So what I'm saying is that one of the things that we get bogged down with in Pacifica is that people can make, you know, ridiculous statements or vicious statements all the time, and that's based on free speech. We are elected to perform a fiduciary responsibility. Everybody that's elected as a member of the local station board and everyone that's elected by the local station board as a member of the national board is there to do a job, and our job is not there to perform functions that have to do with what's called free speech on, you know, in terms of the First Amendment rights of the media. We're here to perform a responsibility for the organization. So one of the things that I get very concerned about is that people say that if I'm a member of the board and I make ridiculous statements, that I'm doing that based on free speech. That's not the case.
Okay,
I'm here to do a job.
I hear you, but I do think this rises to the difference of the philosophical disagreements that people may have, and we could continue to have that discussion. We've heard statements like this. We need to get to some concrete expressions that we can all live with and agree on, and I don't mean to cut off that discussion.
Fine.
I just
go
think
ahead.
It should happen in the
go
work.
Ahead. Go ahead, no. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's move on to new business. Does anybody have any new business that they'd like to propose? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was thinking if there's no new business, then I was going to move to adjourn.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I move to adjourn, yeah.
If anybody would like to stay on this call and continue some of the discussion on code of conduct, they're more than welcome.
Who's moving to adjourn?
Randhawa.
Okay.
And if the chair could second, he would.
Jane, I'll second.
Jane seconded it. Is there any objection to adjourning? All right, then. So we have a meeting scheduled for the fourth Thursday of next month, and I will look forward to any reports coming from any working groups and report on their progress informally in the chair's report. And it's been great.
So you need that by what date?
If you could get it to me within 3 days before the meeting, so I'm sure to be near my email, that would be helpful.
And the meeting is June 16th through
18th. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
It's
good night.
Great meeting.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.